Looking back, what lesson would you want to pass along to listeners navigating their own real estate journey?
You can do it. I think homeownership for many is such a daunting thing. I just worked with a single woman homeowner, and there were moments where she was like, I don't know if I can do this. I said, you absolutely can do it, and we will do it together, and you will get to the closing table, and you will get the keys, and you'll be a homeowner. And she just was posting pictures of her first pool party with all of her girlfriends. So you can do it.
But this is my house, Mommy. The one I asked Mr. Kringle for. It is. I know it is.
Welcome to The Pursuit of Home, coming to you from New York City. This is real people buying real estate and their unique journey to get there. We share the tips, tricks, and frameworks to help you navigate the bumps in the road that you won't see on reality TV or social media, and which no one has talked about until now. These are the emotional, psychological, ethical, and even spiritual challenges you're more than likely to encounter yourself. Learn from experts who've been there and hang out with me, Scott Harris, your host, who's helped thousands of people buy homes in Manhattan over the last two decades.
Welcome to The Pursuit of Home, where we explore what it really means to find and create a place to call home. Today, we're diving into the journey of home buying and how it's not just about the transaction, but about supporting clients through significant life changes. That's all about managing emotions. And for an agent, and it seems like for if you're out there listening, what is it about my relationship with my agent? I just want to find a home and maybe I never want to talk to them again. It's really for the agents that are great. It's about building long-term relationships. I'm joined today by Amy Slate, who is a real estate professional in the Boston area with a unique background in education. And I've written about it in my book and I've interviewed other real estate agents. It's some of my favorite backgrounds for agents. They are amazing. They have more patience. They have more insight. They have more awareness than many other real estate agents out there. And now Amy is helping buyers and sellers navigate the real estate process with confidence and ease. Amy's approach is rooted in empowerment. So that word's gonna come back, but she's making sure her clients feel empowered, informed, supported every step of the way, whether it's working with first-time home buyers, and I know we're gonna get into some of her work with people who've gone through or going through divorce or breakup, whether it's working with them, whether it's working with investors, people facing big life transitions. Amy's goal is always the same, to make the process as smooth and strategic as possible. So we're going to talk about Amy's transition out of teaching into real estate or work with investors perhaps, and as always, the emotional side of buying a home. Amy, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Amy, you have a background in education. Again, it's my favorite. It's you educators make for amazing real estate agents much of the time. And now you're working as a realtor, helping clients navigate the process. What inspired you to transition from teaching into real estate?
Great question. So for context, I was a middle school teacher too. So if you can
handle—
Oh my God,
so people at their most insane.
Exactly. And a middle school French teacher, where you're basically speaking a foreign language. So all of that makes for great real estating. But how I trained or why I transitioned, I was in the education space for about 20 years and just kind of hit my breaking point and said, I need a change. I love what I do, but I don't have the juice for it anymore. At that point, my then husband and I had amassed some rental properties. We'd done some, I won't call it flipping, but buying, renovating, living in and selling. And we've done a lot of real estating, as I like to say. And he said, go get your license. I think you'd be great. And I said, okay. And I did. And that was 2017 to 2018. And I jumped in. I joined a team. I learned a ton in the first year. I had a super successful first year. And I was like, hey, I can do this. It's not as hard as I thought it would be. And I'm taking a lot of those skills that I had as a teacher and transferring them to this new industry. And I'm going to make it work.
Now, what aspects of teaching or educating do you miss? And what have you gotten to bring with you?
Yeah. So I missed early on, there was like a lot of stuff that I missed, and I found ways to weave that into what I'm doing and building my own business. So, you know, the educating people transferred easily. Like, I'm not educating 12-year-olds on French verbs, but I'm now educating first-time home buyers or investors on like, what's the cap rate or what's an inspection report or what are all these things. So I still could get that like teaching mojo going, and that felt good. In the latter part of my education career, I was doing a lot more research and writing. And so I missed that piece. So I just found ways to do more research and writing in the real estate space.
So what does that actually look like?
So I wrote I wrote one, wrote and self-published a book, How to Succeed at Real Estate When You Don't Really Like People. That was it. Because it's a running joke. Like, people who know me say, you're an introvert and you don't really like anyone. How are you doing this? And like, how are you in this industry? So that became a joke. And that's a book for just first time agents to really learn, like, here's how you can be successful in your own way. And then I took on a lot of freelance writing for Housing Wire and some other, you know, industry publications, but I love writing and thinking and researching real estate. I love that act. I loved it in education. Now I'm doing it in real estate.
And, you know, I'm not the only person writing a book. It's very exciting to know that there are other writers out there. It makes me very, very happy, who like to express themselves in words. And is the off season the Red Sox season? You know, what is the off season in Boston?
Parking would be a lot easier if the off season was Red Sox season. We tend to slow down in the real deep winter, like post Christmas through maybe mid to end of January. There's a slow month or so in there. Theoretically, we're also slow July and August, although it's not been uber slow for me right now, just because in New England, your summer is your sacred time. Kids are out of school. Everyone's on vacation. It's hot as blazes. No one wants to be, you know, running around to open houses. So
you bring this education, this sort of education bug, you're writing, are you actually creating kind of, dare I say, pop quizzes and tests for your clients, or ways to sort of make sure that that you've reinforced the pieces of education that are really important in their journey?
I do a lot of like knowledge checking. Like I've explained something maybe once, twice, a third time, and I'll be like, so I just want to make sure we understand. Like, are you clear on X, Y, and Z? Do you understand? Can you explain to me what you need to do? Because I think as real estate agents, we do it 100 times a day. So it's like second nature. We don't always realize like a client might need some repetition. Even if they are an educated adult, they're not a 12-year-old middle schooler. It's their first time hearing this stuff.
It's no different. I mean, I'd say this all the time. One of the most successful financial advisors I've ever met, I said, what is the key to your success? He said, giving people the same piece of information again and again with grace. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we never actually grow out of our, you know, skills at listening or remembering things. We often need to hear things many different ways to learn them. So I think it's actually like, you know, being trained to be patient with 12-year-olds is perfect, because 12-year-olds are going through adolescence, which is a temporary thing that they grow out of. And people who are buying homes are temporarily insane. And that's okay. I mean, it affects everyone. Anybody who goes through the home buying experience is a little crazy. So I'm glad to hear that you know what you're getting into.
And I think that word that you just said, grace, is super, super important, because I may be beyond frustrated because I've told this client this thing 10 times. I can't show that. They are stressed. They are overwhelmed. They probably cry when we hang up the phone because they just don't know what's going on. And really being understanding and empathic and having that grace with your clients will go so far.
I want to get into that. I want to talk about, because buying home is a big emotional milestone. What do you see in your work that are the common emotional challenges that homebuyers face, and how do you help them manage, other than the grace piece, which I think is a huge, if anybody listening out there finds an agent that they feel like is giving them the room they need to feel the feels, as it were, you know, that's a great agent. So what do you do, Amy, to, you know, manage those emotions through the process?
Yeah. So I am naturally introverted, which makes me more of a listener than a talker. And so oftentimes it's just giving them the space to vent, to yell, to complain. And when you're a younger agent, you feel like it's all because of you. And often none of it is because of you. It's just, you are the voice. You are their person in this transaction that they are most closely related to. Yeah. And so they feel safe. Well, so you create that safe space so they can let all those emotions out, because they are going to bubble to the surface. So there's that. I think kind of regular check-ins and lightening the mood. I'm not saying like send crazy off-color memes, but like I do kind of check in and maybe make some jokes and just kind of try to keep things light in those stressful moments. And also, you know, share my own struggles, because we all have emotions. We've all been through the home buying process. most of us have been through the home buying process, or other stressful life events, and we know it can be a lot, and just making them feel safe and secure in sharing their, the good, the bad, the ugly, everything, you know, all the emotions.
So I want to make a distinction there. I think it's really important to call out what you just said, making people feel safe and secure in this situation, which is not a safe or secure place. But if they can feel like their emotion, that they're allowed to have these emotions, mm-hmm. that in itself can help people feel very, very safe. And I think it's a good launching point for us to get into your buyer breakup, your, you know, sort of your area of expertise, the program that you've that's evolved to help people through. Is it divorces? Is it breakups? Like, I'd love to hear more about this side of the coin, because there are lots of reasons people buy and sell, but a subset of that is people who are going through divorce or breakups. So tell us everything.
I would be happy to. It's not a happy topic, but it's one that I am passionate about. So a year and a half ago, this is going to be some personal sharing here. I was surprised with a divorce and said, well, crap, now what? And part of that whole process was relocating geographically. It was, you know, moving out of a home. It was selling multiple properties and all the real estate stuff that comes with a divorce. And I had a moment where I was like, okay, divorce, super stressful. All the real estate stuff accompanying it, super stressful for me. And I do this for a living. So I was like, wow, this must be super duper stressful for other people going through it. And then I'm in these like Facebook groups. You'd be surprised what's out there for divorce. And I'm seeing all these women with all these questions about, do I have to sell the house? What about this? What, do I get an apartment? Like just all these questions and not really anyone answering those questions. Right. So like, that's one piece of it. And at the same time, there's a subset of real estate agents. I'm not going to disparage our industry, but there are some who are like, oh, divorce, they've got to sell the house. And it's almost like an ambulance chaser mentality sometimes. And I said, I don't want to be that. I want to be the person who goes in and just helps educate these women on their options, you know, because it's not always you have to sell the house. Sometimes you can stay put, but let's get you a certified divorce lending professional to help you figure out the money piece. And maybe you do have to sell it. And if that's the case, let's talk through like the emotional, the financial, the logistical, all the parts of this, not just let's do a real estate transaction. Like, I want to support you through this because I've been through it and it sucks.
Right. You've just had your trust completely blown apart. And now you've got to go find somebody to deal with money. Mm-hmm. And they're, you know, and you gotta like, how do you know that you can trust that person? Gosh, it's like a lot to put on your plate.
Yeah.
Well, I used to say, oh, I'm sorry about people getting divorced, but I've been educated out of that. What I do know is that as a kid of divorce, myself, I moved like 500 times mm-hmm. as a kid back and forth from my parents. And I can tell you that that experience is largely why I do what I do, because it makes me feel so good to help people find their home. And maybe it heals a tiny piece of myself and my experience as a kid. And home is really important, whether you're the person who has to go through the divorce or you're along for the ride as a kid.
Yeah.
Sure. And so how does it play out? You advertise in this program, or do you teach classes? Like, how does, you know, do you get to be a teacher again in that way?
All of the above. So last year I founded The Breakup Broker, thebreakupbroker.com, and really have like created this offering to women at no cost, that I will come in and just have a conversation with you and help understand your needs, your questions, what people do I need to put you in contact with? And as part of that, kind of diving all into the divorce space, I've gotten connected with other divorce professionals, whether it's attorneys, whether it's mediators, it's divorce coaches, therapists, certified divorce financial analysts. You know, there are all these people.
That's a big deal. Who values the real estate?
It's a huge deal.
In the middle of this, and how do you? People listening, it's like they're first time home buyers. Maybe they haven't bought in a while. They're listening, or they're just curious about real estate. But it's a really tense thing where one partner thinks it's worth this. One partner thinks it's worth this. One partner wants to have a real estate agent. The other one wants to have one too. How do they work together? It can be so contentious.
Yep.
And maybe the divorce is taking forever. And, you know, one side is just so angry. They can't even focus on anything but how angry they are. It is a lot. So God bless you for doing
that. Thank you.
And they're very lucky. You seem so earnestly, you care so much about people. It's great to hear that. Okay. You're a former educator, yet you're kind of an educator still, by the way.
Yes, yes.
And you're used to empowering other people with knowledge, but how do you help home buyers look beyond the immediate transaction, help them focus long-term lifestyle goals, making this big decision? You're based in Boston, but Boston is really a bunch of little towns.
Yes.
Even within Boston or whatever. Yes. How do you help people figure out where they want to be when some areas can all of a sudden get very hot, very expensive. Mm-hmm. Some places might be more value, and things are always changing and developing. I lived in Boston for 6 years out of college, so I know it a little bit better than some places, but it's a dynamic market.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of, for people to digest, they really have to find somebody to trust. So how do you go about building trust and then advising?
Yeah. So again, it goes back to the listening. Oftentimes clients will tell you things without actually telling you them, right? Like they may say, oh, I want a 3-bed, 2-bath, blah, blah, blah. But in the meantime, they're just in conversation. They're mentioning things. You're like, oh, that's actually where they want to live and how they want to live. So a lot of listening and also keeping them accountable. I remember one client very recently who said hard and fast, like, this is what I want. And so then she'd send me a listing and we'd go see it and we'd be standing in the kitchen and I'd say, you said you wanted 2.5 bathrooms. This has 1. Let's talk about that. Have your criteria changed? Are you willing to sacrifice some things? And just like keeping the conversation, reminding them what they've told you that they want, because it may get lost in the, oh my God, I love this giant yard with this entertaining space, but there's still only 1 bathroom inside, right? And if that's something that's important to you, let's make sure we keep that at the forefront. So I think accountability to some extent, because there's some window shopping that goes on and there's some excitement over the this, that, or the other thing. It's got an in-ground pool. It's got a whatever. Okay, but you said you needed a first floor main bedroom and this doesn't have it. So, reminding them with kindness and grace.
But by the way, Amy, and I want to press on this. Maybe I don't want to, not that I want to challenge you, but I've found time and time again that, and it's not a knock, people say, here's my checklist. Mm-hmm. And then over time, they realize they actually want something else. They discover that they walk into a place that actually does check all their boxes and it doesn't work at all. And they're like, okay, my steam's coming out of my ears. My brain is frying. I don't know what is wrong. And maybe, then it becomes, wait a minute, actually, I said I wanted the ground floor, master bedroom, apartment, primary bedroom, whatever, but I actually want something else. Yeah. I said I want outdoor space, but it's because I just want to have some, I don't want to be looking at my neighbor. Mm-hmm. Like there's something else in that, and you can, there's one thing to hold people accountable and it's another thing to make enough space so that people can discover, they can kind of work out what it is they're looking for. Do you understand?
100%. I'm with you. And I think there's the checklist and I think it's the, let's get to the underlying reasons of that checklist. When you said you wanted 2 acres, again, is that because you don't want to see your neighbors? Because sometimes that can be done on 1/2 acre.
Right.
Right. And when you said you needed a primary suite on the first floor, why did you want that? Or you needed 2 car garage, like all the check boxes. Okay.
Right.
Great. It's a good starting point, but why is it that you want those things? Because it gets to the emotions, right? This is going to be, you're going to be living in this space. How are you going to be feeling in this space? And is that extra 1/2 bath you thought you wanted not going to matter 5 years from now when your kids are playing in this amazing backyard?
Yeah, I just want to point out, because you sort of have touched on this a couple of times, you're more of an introvert and maybe that's not a great thing for a salesperson. As I listen to it, and I think people out there who are listening, I think the fact that you're quieter energy, that you're slowing down to listen to people is actually serving you incredibly well. And that the extrovert might be fun to be social and meet more clients perhaps, but you're going to find, I think every agent has to find their own way to how they're appealing to clients. And by the way, not every buyer wants to deal with this, loudmouth person who's talking all the time. That could be me, by the way, but there's a lid for every pot. And I think it's really important that when someone's looking in a space that often what sabotages the visit is that agent who won't stop chattering. And actually, it's like, have you ever had to take an agent into the other room and be like, hey, come with me because you're really bothering my clients.
Yes, they just, and you get to learn your clients too and their style of kind of taking in information. And sometimes they just need to be and absorb and not be barraged with and this great, you know, marble counters and this and that. And they just need to like be in the space and absorb the energy.
All right. I want to get into some more stories because I think that's really fun for our listeners. Real estate transactions are definitely emotional. We've established that, especially when things don't go as planned. I'd love to hear a story, maybe how you helped a buyer through a particularly challenging moment during their home search when things were not going at all how they planned.
Here's an interesting one. Okay. And these are one of my near and dear clients who are near and dear to my heart. Most of them. Yes. You know, we went into this with the husband. He wants her project. He's got his tool belt ready. There's HGTV on constantly. Like we are shopping for a project and we're looking at home after home after home. And it's like, once we start talking about the projects, they're like, oh my God, oh my God. Right. Like clearly they weren't on the same page. And so
that happens a lot.
Totally. And so getting them onto at least a page is sometimes challenging, but you know, kept the calm, kept the cool, and just kept looking and looking and looking. And finally found this home, which needed basically nothing. I think they like just put some siding on it, but otherwise it's like totally, and that was a choice. And this client is one of my biggest cheerleaders. They've been in their house probably 3 years now. Every Halloween she will tag me because one of her things was, I want a house where trick-or-treaters come, right? The husband wants a project. She wants trick-or-treaters. She wants a historic home. And they've got like the plaque on the house. And so she tags me so often and I literally am like almost brought to tears every single time because starting out, it was like, oh God, we're never going to find it. We're never going to find it.
Right. And she was the one who was being dragged around a little bit because he was like, oh, this project. And she's like, well, what about me?
Yes. Yeah. And they're both amazing and I love them dearly. And it was just like, that's one of those, like they found home, right? They really found not just a house, but their home where their little boy, he was like in the swaddle thing when we're house hunting because he was so tiny. And now he's like in daycare and playing t-ball and all the things. And that was one of those like, oh God, are we going to be able to do this? And guess what we did?
Love it. Now, first time buyers, a lot of people listening are first time buyers, can definitely feel overwhelmed by the process. And from your experience, what do you think that most first time home buyers misunderstand about this process? And what advice would you give to them to approach it so that they could approach it with more confidence?
This is going to be a super lame answer, but the amount of paperwork and the amount of money you actually need to get to the closing table. I think no shade to my mortgage lending friends, but they pre-qualify you for X amount and your mortgage payment's going to be Y. And so you're crunching the numbers in your head. You're like, yep, we can swing this. And then you get through the process and you're like, wait, I need to bring how much to closing and it's going to cost me how much for movers. And I think, you know, a little more education around the financial piece is huge. And literally, at least in Massachusetts, the forms, the documents, the signatures, we've got an offer, then we've got a purchase and sale, and then we've got closing documents. We've got just multiple paperwork steps along the line.
So it's like you're standing in front of the class and on the first day. You're like, okay, class, here's the syllabus that you're, you know, and four people fall asleep. You're like, look, these are the things you need to know. And if you can get in enough so that they can get out of their excitement for a minute and hear you, they're going to be much better off. All right. I have some rapid fire questions for you.
Go for it, Amy.
All right. What is your secret to making the home buying process fun or at least less stressful?
Oh, I am the queen of like snide remarks, like, would you check out that countertop? Like I'm one of those, like under my breath, like making comments about houses, not in a rude, like disparaging way, just like trying to lighten it a little bit and make it less stressful. If I can.
Mean girls, but you're making fun of kitchen counters instead of people. I love it.
A little bit. Yeah.
Okay. I love it. All right. What's one piece of advice you wish you had when you bought your home first?
I think like this may not be your forever home. I think so many of us I'm a Gen Xer. Like, we grew up where, like, our parents have lived in the same house for 40 years, right? That's not the way things are anymore for the most part. I mean, I've moved probably 10 times in the last 25 years. Some of it's just because we were investing and moving and flipping and whatever. But many people, like, this might be the house that's right for you now. And that's okay if it's not in 5 years and you need a change.
Okay. If you could buy a home anywhere else in the world or anywhere in where you are, where would it be?
Okay. So, unfair question. I currently own an apartment in the south of France, but I want a different one.
Oh my.
So, okay. it would be like beachfront or beach water views south of France.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I'm expecting an invite next year. All right. If you weren't in real estate and weren't in teaching, of course, what other career path could you see yourself embarking on?
I would love to be a florist.
Okay. I see a home stager career coming up for you.
No, I'm not that crazy. Just the flowers. Okay. Leave me out of the sofas and the end tables.
I love it. All right. You've worked with lots of buyers, lots of sellers over the year. Looking back, this is our, you know, last question. What's one of the most rewarding experiences you've had, and what lesson would you want to pass along to listeners who are navigating their own real estate journey?
I think, like, you can do it. I think homeownership for many is such a daunting thing, but, you know, I just worked with a single woman homeowner. She's now a homeowner as of, you know, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. Yep. And there were moments where she was like, I don't know if I can do this. I'm all alone. I don't know if I can do this. And I was like, you absolutely can do it. And we will do it together. And you will get to the closing table and you will get the keys and you will be a homeowner. And she just was posting pictures of her first pool party with all of her girlfriends. So you can do it.
Amy Slate of Real. You are a real estate agent at Real. You are empowering people left and right. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. It was great.
That's it for this episode of The Pursuit of Home. I hope today's conversation gave you insight, clarity, and maybe even a new way to think about your own home search. If you enjoyed the episode, please take a moment to follow, rate, and review the show. It really helps us reach more people on their own journey to home ownership. And when you're looking to dive deeper into your own home buying journey, don't forget The Pursuit of Home, a real estate guide to achieving the American dream, is now a national bestseller, and it's available wherever you buy your books. I share real-life strategies and insights to help you make empowered decisions in today's market so that you will find a house that supports you in every area of your life. The Pursuit of Home is proudly produced by Fame, the B2B podcast production agency. Find The Pursuit of Home on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere you listen to your podcasts. And if you want to connect, you can find me on social media or at magneticre.com. Until then, happy home hunting.